The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here. I have what I think is going to be a special episode today. Most of the time, for those of you that are listeners, know that I've got a guest or I'm giving coaching, all sort of stuff. Aside from being coming over a cold, so my apologies for the disgusting noises that you may hear in the next 20 minutes. I have been doing a lot of coaching, and a theme has been occurring with our clients and our prospective clients that I think will be of a lot of value to you as a whole Cleaning Nation. And I want to talk about the millionaire mindset. And I know that sounds super hokey. I hate to use that word, but one of our coaches, Tracy, uses the word monkey mindset, which I think it could be even fear-based and powerful mindset, right? So I have found we work with a lot of folks and we get a lot of amazing results. And when I started this coaching gig, I used to think that the person's success would be highly dictated by external circumstances. Are they rich? Are they poor? Have they had successful businesses before? What is their education? How were they raised? Do they have a lot of friends? Are they good at selling? Like just a lot of kind of external type facts about them. And we found that really what it distills down to in successful versus non-successful is internal traits within the person. And I want to share those traits with you because if we kind of know what works and what doesn't work, I want to give you things that work because when I started coaching, because I'm a tactical guy and I'm still working on my mindset, a lot of it was tactical. And we spent a lot of time on here's how to get clients, here's how to get employees, all that kind of important stuff. But we found if you've got the right mindset and the right way to look at your business and relate to it, the growth goes so much easier than if you have a weak mindset and you're constantly telling yourself stories that are ineffective. So I wanted to give you all a foundation of how to be successful. And by the way, for the clients, you'd think we'd jump right in with, all right, let's make some money. Let's get some clients. Let's hire some people. And a lot of times that's what folks want. But believe it or not, we start with mindset. And we kind of start with here's what you need to be and who you need to be to be the most effective. So I've got some things that are kind of, I'm typing one in because I just got one. I've got some things that are super effective and I want to share them with you so you can be like, well, all right, Mike, if I were a friend of yours and we sat down to lunch, I was like, what would be, and I want to start a cleaning company. I want to go 0 to 1 million in a year. What would I need? Right. And I know people would expect the best marketing, the best employees, the best whatever. And those are important. I'm not saying they're not, but those will come or go. Like a perfect example I use of this is we've all heard stories of poor people that won the lottery and inevitably give them a year or two or three, depending on how big the lottery is, and they are poor people again. So it's not about how do I invest and is it, should I do stocks or bonds or cryptocurrency or savings or whatever? It's they have a poor person mindset. They look at their relationship with money as poor. So when they get money, they can't help but give it to rich people effectively. And the reverse is also true, right? I've been poor and I've been rich and right now we do pretty well. And I'm confident if for whatever reason, we lost all of our money, maybe it'd be 6 months, maybe it'd be a year, maybe it'd be 2 years, but it wouldn't be long until we had money again. So instead of focusing on what would you do? Which we've got over 600 episodes. I promise there's dozens of episodes, hundreds of episodes on what to do. I wanted to talk to you about how you relate and how you think. And again, I think a lot of times folks don't get into this because often it's not what y'all want, right? The audience, you know, I'll get more clicks or whatever on here is what to do. Here's how to build a hiring funnel. Here's a nifty marketing headline. Here's how to do a Facebook ad that's effective. Those are all great things. But again, if you put it in the mind of someone with a poor money mindset, you are going to get that kind of a result. So the first thing we want to understand is what you focus on grows. So I think we get that generally, like if I focus on negative things, then I'll get negative things. And if I focus on positive things, I'll get positive things. But even in a larger sense, if you focus on, let's kind of take it a step up from positive and negative. If you focus on things that you are within your control, your sphere of influence will grow. If you focus on things that are out of your control, things that are out of your control will grow, i.e. your sphere of influence will shrink. There's two really good examples of this. One is kind of a specific interview I had I want to share, and the other is kind of a global example that we're all pretty familiar with. So first, before I had this podcast, I had another kind of general podcast, and I had a interview with an international drug dealer, and his story was fascinating. Spoiler alert, he went to prison. Not only that, he went to a Thai prison. My apologies for the disgusting noises, but join me on the journey. It'll be worth it, I promise. So he went to a Thai prison, which I didn't know anything about. I've been born and raised in the United States, and I assumed prisons elsewhere probably weren't great. But from his description, they were basically four concrete walls, dirt floor, not enough food to survive. If you didn't have someone bringing you clothes, you were naked. And if you didn't have someone bringing you food, you would starve. He said people literally just curl up and die. Like they just couldn't handle it. So he was a large white American man in a community of nothing but smaller, darker skinned Thai people. And he didn't even speak the language. So he stood out. You know, this wasn't a great place to be. And he had a life sentence. Apparently they are not fans of drug dealing in Thailand. So he literally said there's people around him that would just curl up and die. They couldn't deal with it. So he chose to focus on what he could do. He realized, I mean, if you look at the sphere of things that were outside of his influence, food, if someone didn't bring him food, there wouldn't be enough food to survive. Clothing and weather. If it was wet out and he didn't have clothes, he was wet. If it was hot, he was hot. Where he went, who he could relate with, right? There was literally no one to talk to because he didn't even speak the language. So he could have spent the rest of his life focusing on the things that he didn't have control over, which frankly were massive, right? And literally probably would have curled up and died. He chose to focus on his sphere of influence. The one thing he could influence, or one of the very few things he could influence, was how he used his time. For the first time in his life, he had a lot of time available to him. So he decided he was going to learn to speak the Thai language. The way he told me he did that was by writing his mother, I believe in Texas, like physical letters that would take weeks to get back and forth, asking for remedial beginner instruction on the Thai language. Like, remember when we were in kindergarten, they'd have a C and we'd write a C 100 times on the page. And he would have that with a Thai language and literally sitting in the middle of the yard with people making fun of him, talking how stupid he was because he's an adult man just learning the basics of their language. And over a couple of years, he actually learned the language and he started to write letters to people that he thought could help him, lawyers or royalty or people like that, and started becoming friends with the guards. And lo and behold, the guards actually liked American people and were very interested in the culture, but no one had ever taken the time that they'd experienced to learn their language and be able to talk to them in their native tongue. So he got in with those guards and was able to build influence and be able to have privileges and things that he couldn't. So he focused on the very small circle of influence he had, which is what he could do with his time. And he used that to learn language. And once he learned language, he used that to make friends with influential people inside and outside of the prison. And it's a long story. There's some step backs and all sorts of stuff. But after 7 years, he was transferred to the United States and he got out of jail. And when I talked to him, he was, I believe, in New Jersey, living a very successful, well-adjusted life. So that shows the power of focus. Had he focused on the things that were outside of his control, which I think the reason I use that story is I'm guessing everybody within the sound of my voice has more control over their lives than this man had over his, right? So there's no one, you know, a lot of times people, oh, well, you're rich and successful, Mike, so I don't have to listen to you. Be that as it may. This guy was neither rich nor successful at that moment in his life. So I think all of us have more, a larger sphere of influence than this man had. So if he can take his very, very tiny sphere of influence and use that to expand it and focus on that, we can certainly focus on our much larger comparatively sphere of influence and continue to do great things. The second thing would be COVID, right? It's so funny during this COVID thing, I've had clients and they fall distinctly in two categories, kind of like with the politicization of this. There doesn't seem a lot of people in the middle, a lot of people feel very strongly one way or another. I felt the same with the clients, very strongly one way or another. Some of the clients were like, well, there was COVID, everybody quit. What do you do? Of course I started over. Of course my business took a hit. Of course everything went to pot. And they say that as a matter of fact, our business, specifically coaching, we did well. We did great in COVID. I think COVID, that year was better than any year we'd had in history. And you go, oh, you got a coaching business. That's different. Agreed. But our business did well because we coached a bunch of people who said, oh my gosh, during COVID, there's so much opportunity, you know? So if we focus on our sphere of influence in COVID, we find, holy crap, there's a lot of stuff that we can do. If we focus on, you know, you can look at it as, oh, everything's shut down, blah, 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 blah. You could also look at it as, holy heck, cleaning and disinfection and sanitization has never been sexier, right? And no one is interested in talking about that up until 2020. And all of a sudden, everybody's interested in that, right? You can look at, well, gosh, if there are, you know, businesses that are considered mandatory or, you know, vital, well, golly, they're probably open 24/7 and their cleaning needs have probably quadrupled or 10x. And I'll bet you the government will give me a list of what they call essential businesses, right? So again, in all things at all times, if you focus on what you can control will grow. If you focus on what you can't control will grow. What that looks like kind of day to day and what I deal with folks is the belief of I don't have any money, therefore I can't go forward, right? And it's so frustrating because again, we work with folks, some of which most of the people that come to us don't have a lot of money, right? They're by all intents and purposes, they're broke. They came to us because they're broke. They need some help, right? And it's so funny how people respond to feeling they need to get money for their business, whether it's for our coaching or supplies or whatever capital they think they need. Just like COVID, some people go, well, what are you going to do? COVID happened, so obviously we suffered. Other people go, oh my gosh, COVID happened, so obviously we blew up. I need money or capital for my business and I don't have money, so obviously I've got to quit. Versus I need money for capital for my business, so obviously I better go get some money, right? It has nothing to do with, and poor people I have found focus on the external things. I have money. I don't have money. I have clients. I don't have clients. I'm good looking. I'm not good looking. I'm tall. I'm short. I'm black. I'm white. I'm young. I'm old. Whatever the case is. And they tell themselves stories about that. That's all. As opposed to internalizing, go, I will have the results that I choose to have. Right. So we can kind of, COVID is a thing in the world that happened. That was a non-negotiable. How we respond to that and how our businesses respond to that is so funny. You would think, well, how about businesses in more strict states with more shutdowns versus this versus that? What about Canada? What about Australia? Believe it or not, we coach worldwide and overwhelmingly it wasn't, well, everyone in Canada was starving, but everyone in America was doing great. It had everything to do with the owner and how they showed up and how they responded and very little to do with the place that they were at. Because in the place where there's more restrictions, more people had a mindset of, I guess everything's going to go to crap. So there's fewer people that said, I'm going to figure this thing out. And they took over market share, right? Kind of, there's a saying, you know, when you hear the rich get richer, there's a reason, there's science behind that. The rich get richer because really you could effectively say the people with powerful mindsets continue to expand their circle of influence and the people with weak mindsets that get knocked off kilter continue to shrink in what they have. So the things I want you to hear are what you focus on grows. If you focus on what you have control over, the things you have control over will grow. If you focus on what you don't have control over will grow. Good indicators of that are COVID. And then my international drug dealer friend who had a very, very small circle of influence, but because he focused exclusively, he goes, if I looked outside of all the things I couldn't control, I would have given up and died. But because I focused only on the things I could control, slowly but surely, that grew and grew and grew. And all of us have more circle of influence than my drug dealing, former drug dealing friend. So the last thing I want to give you is the stories that we tell. So when we externalize and blame, well, I can't do it because the competition is not fair. In and out's paying $20 an hour for labor in my area, or the government's paying people to stay home. Whatever external story we choose to tell will dictate the results that we get. So the cool thing is they're all stories, right? So the government is paying people to stay home at this point, at the recording of this in 2021, where are we at? November. That's the truth. Now, beyond that, there's a bunch of stories. And this is where we sneak them in, by the way. If you just start with a lie, a lot of us catch it. I can't succeed. Well, that sounds not true. But if we play this terrible game, two truths and a lie, and there's a fun two truths and a lie game that I played. It's fun. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the government's paying people to stay home. True. People are going to be, they'd rather stay home than work. There's some truth to it, but it's not the truth. Therefore, my cleaning company screwed and I can't hire. And that's where the lie comes in. So if we just start with my cleaning company screwed there and I can't grow, that's obviously not the truth. It's obviously a story. But if we phrase it or couch it with a truth, a half truth, all of a sudden that lie doesn't sound so ridiculous. So let's look at it again. The government's paying people to stay home. Truth. Therefore, people will rather stay home and get the government money than work for me. Maybe. Let me tell another story. The people that are lazy and don't really care about their work and are just there for a paycheck will probably stay home. But the good news, here's the lie I'm choosing to tell myself, which is just really an empowering story as opposed to a disempowering story. Disempowering story being, because of that, I have to shut down and no one will work. I could also tell myself a story. Because of that, the labor market's going to be full of people that want to work for a purpose. They could stay home and get similar money for doing nothing. Holy heck, if they're willing to clean toilets or work for some semi-menial job, they must be down for a cause. And if I create a cause, I'll be unstoppable. They'll all come to me. If I have a community, they want to be a part of it. If I give them work and let them know how they're serving our clients and that's changing their lives and making a difference in the world, and they really enjoy their fellow man, and we're all together with a shared value and the culture is powerful, man, is that going to be appealing? So do you see how that's a really empowering story? And now the empowering story often is a hard story, right? Because the empowering story, it's on me to create this culture and do the work and do all this sort of stuff. And I could fail and I could look bad. And there's some risk there. The disempowering story, what am I going to do? I guess I'll just fail. Doesn't have a lot of risk on me, right? I could just, it's not my fault. It's the government, right? So oftentimes the story that is going to be the most effective costs us a little, because we have to now take charge and go, well, if people aren't working, it's because I haven't created a culture that they want, not because of anything else. So I really want to encourage you. Very few things are the truth, right? But nothing about the future is the truth. It's all just a guess and a story. So if we're going to make up a story, let's make up a story that's empowering and is going to help us live the life that we want and impact the people we want to impact, as opposed to making up a story that's going to be disempowering and frustrating and overwhelming. So what that might look like and how we can control those stories is by the questions that we ask. So if you ask disempowering questions, you'll get disempowering answers. So what if this COVID never ends and no one ever works and I go bankrupt and I'm living on the street begging for nickels? That question, I think we'd all agree, is a very powerful question. It's going to get a very powerful response, and it's probably going to be a powerfully negative response. Another question we could ask is, wow, in all this COVID stuff, there must be a lot more need for cleaning. The work that we did that was important before is crazy important. How many more lives need to be changed? How many lives could I save just by disinfecting, sanitizing, and cleaning? What kind of opportunity could I possibly have? Is this the opportunity I have to really change the world like I've always wanted to? Same circumstance, different response. So let me just sum up, because we've gone long and I know this is kind of heavy stuff, but I really want to get you things that are empowering and effective and help you be the leaders that you need to be. Because again, everyone's like, tell me what to do to build a $1 million business. And that kind of takes the pressure off. It's like, oh, if Mike tells me good things, I can have a $1 million business. But if Mike doesn't tell me good things, then I won't, right? And then we go from YouTube video to podcast to blog to whatever, looking for the thing. And we're like, how come I'm so smart, but I'm not getting the results? Because we're too focused on what we need to do instead of who we need to be. So having coached thousands of owners of cleaning companies personally, and my team and I doing this for 7 years, the things that you need to be are people that focus on what you have control over, not on things that you don't have control over. Taking ownership of your own life, internalizing everything, right? Whatever happens in my life is because of me and what I focus on, not the world. And the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but I'm still going to get the result that I need to get, regardless, right? As an entrepreneur, our main job is to bend reality to our vision, right? And that's why we get paid so well. It's a hard job to take reality just going on its track and say, I see a group of people, I see change, I see impact, and I'm going to literally bend reality to make that to my will. It's a hard job, but it has a lot to do with the stories that we tell. So I just want to encourage you, focus on the things that you can influence. Ask yourself powerful questions so you can tell yourself stories that are going to get you where you want, and be very careful of asking disempowering questions or telling yourself stories that are going to not get you want or move you far away from where you are. All right. So hopefully, I know this has been like, whoa, this is probably the headiest, most kind of in-depth podcast we've done on this subject, but it's so important. It was worth me taking the time, and hopefully you taking the time to get this in. If you would like more help, if you're like, screw all this, Mike, just tell me how to do some daggum marketing, we have a podcast for that. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. You'll find everything you need. If you want some more tactical stuff, there's a free on-demand training. I would start there. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.